Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Peace in the midst of the storm.
Yeah, na 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 na. Whoa.
Hello, 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 hello. Live on your radio. Joy 99.7 FM. This is Home Affairs. Always a blessing to be here every Saturday morning sharing family lessons with you. So how are you? 055-1111-997. I want to know how you're doing today. And in between everything that we will be doing, if today happens to be your birthday, your wedding anniversary, or whatever special occasion you're celebrating, you can send me a message as well. We'll send some shouts your way. Just telling you this morning that be anxious for nothing. Why don't you just try to relax your mind a little bit? Wahala no de finish. You can't carry all the wahala on your head. So relax. Give yourself a break. That's what I've been trying to say. Give yourself a break from all the troubles around you.
FM.
Allow yourself to enjoy the little things, the goodness of life. Permit yourself already. If you want to stay in bed all day today, stay in bed. You want to go out, go out. Hey, every day there's something to do. There's always a challenge somewhere. There's always a problem to solve. I beg you, give yourself a break. You're a human being. Sometimes those problems and those issues and those challenges can hang in there and wait for a while. We need time to breathe, time to relax, and then we will strategize on how to go back to them and deal with them. You know why? Because me, I'm giving myself a break today. Ava! I give myself a break today. So give yourself a break. And don't try yourself. Don't try killing yourself by trying to be, you know, some superhuman being. You're not. Home Affairs is brought to us by Amasha Partners Limited and iCare. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. Dano Milk, choose tasty milk, choose nourishment, choose Dano Milk. Dano Milk, go for it. We say thank you so much for banking on Home Affairs. We have space for a lot more of you. So please come on board and help us to be able to make homes out of houses. We appreciate your support every day. And for all of you who are always tuned in, the feedback you give us and all, we say thank you. We appreciate you a lot. Daniela, thank you very much. And then to you, Oliver, God bless you. So last week we started our clinic time with a gynae. And we had a lot of questions to answer. No long things, because when we're having some of these conversations, before you realize, the time just fizzles out. And so we're going straight into it. Last week, there was a question on PCOS. And yeah, there were three questions that Doc wanted us to go into. So I would want us to start with the PCOS. And the question says that, good morning, Adam. For those of you who didn't tune in last week, our time with the gynae, we're spending time with Dr. Paddy Ayete of Elemis Health. He is an obstetrician gynecologist, like, you know, top notch at that. And every once in a while, we invite him and then we tend to answer questions, you know, that bother on women, our health issues, reasons why we are unable to function properly and also to be able to make our homes, you know, happy homes. You know that once a woman has issues here and there, there are issues in the home as well. So we tend to have these conversations so that we know what's happening with us. So our partners also get to understand us. Our children, our family members, the people who live with us get to know what's happening and then are able to support us to be able to make our homes very, 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 very happy and peaceful. We started last week and we are on today. So it's actually a clinic, a Q&A session. You can send your questions through as well on 055-1111-997, 055-1111-997. And somehow or somewhere within, we will activate our phone line on 0302216541, 0302216541. All right, so we're going to wait now. Good morning, Adam. Please, I am sorry. I am 19 and I have PCOS and my menses doesn't come often. Is there something wrong? And yes, doc, PCOS, she's 19, her menses are irregular, and she wants to find out what's wrong with her. But to start with, what is PCOS, though?
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, doc.
PCOS actually stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Mm.
We call it a syndrome because we found that it's a collection of problems.
Oh.
The collection of problems are... Okay, so initially, maybe a woman comes with an irregular menses. So either the menses comes, after it delays before it comes, or when it comes, when it eventually comes, it flows for a long period. Or maybe she doesn't have a menses at all for several months in the year. When the doctor examines her, he may discover that she may have signs of what we would describe as excess male hormones. Mm. So she's got excess hair in various parts of her, on her chin, on her tummy. She's got the hair arrangement on parts of her body is shaped like how a man's hair is instead of how a woman's hair is. There's a difference. And when he does a scan for her, or when she does a scan for her, you discover that the lady's ovaries have got several small cysts, which are small black, they look like black circles, small collections of fluids or small balloons, very tiny balloons on your on your ovary, arranged in a particular manner.
Wow.
Now, because you see a lot of those cysts on the ovary, and that is why they name polycystic, multiple cysts on the ovary, and that's how the name came about. But they discover that those who have that picture also have these other things that come together. And that's why it's described as a syndrome.
Okay. So her question now, she says her menses are irregular. She has, the PCOS and her menses are irregular. And she wants to find out what that means.
So the essential polycystic ovarian syndrome is quite a complex disorder.
Mm.
And with over the years, we've gotten to know more and more about it. And there are various aspects to it, but the overall thing is that there's a hormonal imbalance. The hormonal imbalance causes hair to produce excess male hormone, causes hair not to release eggs, her eggs. So the eggs that she has don't grow into maturity. So they start as baby eggs, they grow until, for lack of a better word, they are like teenagers, and then they stop growing at that stage. So they don't burst, they don't get to the stage of maturity where they would go and burst and for you to get pregnant. And that egg gets stuck at that stage. Now, because you don't, as it were, ovulate, the hormones that come after ovulation that will cause your menses to come if you don't get pregnant to don't also rise. And so as a result, she doesn't have her menses. And then the next month, another egg too grows like that and gets stuck like that. And it just continues on and on and on. So the eggs that she should be releasing on a monthly basis, she doesn't release. And because she doesn't release it, she doesn't ovulate, she doesn't have her menses, and it just keeps going on. The challenge is that the lining of the uterus, which is what you call the endometrium, keeps growing as the month is, as she's not having her menses, until it gets to the stage where the endometrium becomes so thick that the foundation on which it stands are too weak. And then the endometrium starts breaking down. Now, under normal circumstances, every month, after ovulation, you release progesterone. Progesterone stabilizes the whole endometrium. And when progesterone levels drop, the whole endometrium comes off as one sheet. It's like doing that dinner tablecloth trick where you can pull off the entire sheet of the tablecloth in one go. But with PCOS, once you don't have your menses, and the next month, estrogen levels rise again, it just keeps rising. So the building starts getting taller and taller. The endometrium until it becomes a very tall, unstable building. And then it starts breaking down. Unfortunately, it doesn't break down as one piece. It breaks down in pieces. So today here will break, and then you bleed. Then that place will heal, another place will break, and then you bleed. So eventually what happens is that you bleed consistently for a long period. It could be very heavy. It could be, you know, medium size. It could be small. You may spot for a whole month. You may bleed heavily for a whole month. It's normal for them to, after not having their menses for several months, now bleeding for three, four weeks. We tell them that it is like if all your bleeding that you should have bled for 3 months, you are now bleeding. You have accumulated it and you're all bleeding all at once. But it's actually because the endometrium got too big and it's not being shed in one go and it comes out in pieces. So they really have very, very funny bleeds, which can be, some people really bleed and they become very, very pale, very weak when that happens. For the client, essentially, what they recognize is periods are not coming. Bleeding, when it comes, eventually is very heavy. She's not getting pregnant, even though she's trying. But there are other things that they may not initially notice. When you talk to them, they may notice. They have difficulty in losing weight. No matter what they do, they don't lose weight. They eat like everybody else, but they gain weight. Other people don't. They don't gain weight. Even they'll tell you, even when I don't eat, they gain weight. Wow. They gain a lot of weight when they are stressed. When they are young like this, when exams are coming, periods don't come. Because of a little bit of stress messes up their system. And then it prolongs it and becomes a beast later. So there are lots of young girls who have these kinds of problems, especially in secondary schools, in boarding house. Wow. And then their mothers will bring them by and will try and regulate their menses. But usually, as they grow a little bit older, it tends to correct for some people. It's also related to how much body fat you have. Because some hormones are expressed more when you have more body fat. And so losing weight is part of the things that we try and get them to do, because then you can get them to a balance where the hormones will balance out. It's quite a complex condition. People don't quite understand everything about it. And so so you often meet people where the solution is quite simple. Do this for them and the problem would go away. Yeah. But if they don't understand or their clinician doesn't specialize in that area, then it becomes a bit of a challenge. But it can be treated.
Okay.
It can be fixed. The first question I ask, the question you don't like, what do you want? And the client has to tell me what her wish is in solving this particular problem. Because your wishes are different.
What if her wishes are not safe for her?
No, but she should express her wish and let's see. Because if you don't have, you need to have the target. So a woman comes, she's got PCOS, but she just wants a regular period. She's not trying to get pregnant. She doesn't want to get pregnant. The treatment you give to her, slightly different
from
the treatment from the one who says, I want to have a child. Pregnant. You understand?
Yes.
But I've been diagnosed with this problem. Then we are like, okay, we are managing this problem with the objective of trying to get you to have a child. For somebody else, it is the bleeding becomes too heavy when it comes and makes me, it just messes up my life. So I want something that is, you know, that will deal with that aspect. So the client determines essentially the method that you use to.
But for a 19-year-old,
yeah.
Because you did mention that it can occur in young people like this as well. So for a 19-year-old or 16, 17-year-old who obviously doesn't even understand what's happening to her body, what usually is advised?
So
because they don't seem to have a lot of choice at that point.
Oh, they still have, I mean, they don't have the reproductive trying to get pregnant choice.
And doesn't even understand what is happening with them. I just don't understand why.
If you are in boarding house, for example, and your friends have normal, regular periods, and you can go 3-4 months
without
a period.
And then when it decides
and then when it comes, it comes plenty and it's prolonged and you have to go to the sick bay.
Oh.
You obviously have a problem because your system is not working like how the average person's own is working.
Yeah.
So you are the one who would say, I need to see somebody. I need to see a doctor about this. And when that happens, there are things that we can put them on to ensure their periods come regularly without all the mess up.
Right.
Or there are some who their periods, when they come, are so heavy and so painful and they are so incapacitating that we can actually stop your periods.
Okay.
So I've got clients that will stop their periods at particular times, and then we'll allow them to have a period at the times that we can control or manage those circumstances.
I see.
So we can do all that for them.
And eventually, if you're somebody who would like to have children, doesn't it have effect on your reproductive health?
It does, because you don't ovulate. Because you don't ovulate, you don't release eggs. And people find it a bit difficult to understand how, if I don't ovulate, how come I have my menses? Oh, you can have your menses without ovulating. Yes, you can. However, for a lot of them, they won't ovulate, and they may not have their menses at all. And then if that happens, because they're not ovulating, they don't get pregnant. Mm. So to solve their problem, we have to correct it. Now, with the understanding, we kind of know the various areas where the gaps are. And what we try and do is to try and fill those gaps. Initially, we'll try and force your system to ovulate. But what happens when you don't have the right raw materials and you're forcing a factory to work? It's not going to work effectively. And so you don't get good results from those. Then there are other drugs that we can use to suppress some things that actually make it worse. The challenge is that oftentimes when you prescribe the drug, if the pharmacist doesn't understand why you're prescribing the drug, then it becomes a bit of an issue, because he says, but you don't have this condition, so why are you using this drug? And I've got clients that have gone to the pharmacy and come back and said, the pharmacist says they don't supply me. And I'm like, yeah, but just because they don't understand the way the thing works. Wow. With time, however, they are beginning to understand it a whole lot more. And more people are beginning to understand that for these conditions, these are the medications that we need to give you to be able to solve it. Now we've moved even further, where we are looking at where are your gaps? Where are your gaps, why your hormones are behaving that way? And we are filling those gaps. And once you are filling those gaps, your body corrects itself. And then you come back to where it's supposed to be. You must have knows one big thing. The fact that you have PCOS, it means you've got a lifelong deficiency. There are enzyme deficiencies, there are all kinds of imbalances. And if we are fixing it, it means we may have to give you medication that you need to take for the rest of your life.
Wow.
That is what they don't understand. It's mefedrosa, and I'm like, yeah, I have GCSPD deficiency. I cannot take sulfa drugs. I was taking it, and nothing was happening until I started developing blisters on part of my body. And I learned my lesson that if I continue with this thing, one day it will kill me. So I've stopped taking it. Now, the same way I have that deficiency that causes me not to be able to take that drug, you too may have a different kind of enzyme deficiency that causes other problems inside you. But if the danger with PCOS is that if you don't treat it properly, in future, you'll be diabetic.
Okay.
Most likely, you'll be hypertensive. Your risk of heart disease, coronary artery disease, or even other kinds of blood vessel diseases are higher.
Wow.
Because the PCOS you are seeing is a manifestation of a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one arm of it. It's the part that you are seeing. But later on,
the root is still there. This one are just branches.
Precisely. So the other problems will manifest because you've had this problem for 20 years. And then one day you come to the hospital and they say, oh, you are diabetic. And like, I've been fine all this time. It's like, yeah, but actual fact, you know those times when you're having a PCO, it's related to it.
And it wasn't properly managed.
Well, if you don't know,
then,
and to speak the truth, most clinicians are not well, it's a specialist area. It is a lot more complex than we initially thought it was.
Wow.
But when you manage it well, it means all your solutions in future, your problems in future, actually are averted. And we should be thinking more of how we should avoid future problems than, you know, waiting till we get there and trying to chase it and solve it.
God bless women. It's not an easy journey.
Oh.
When you have a woman in your home and they're going through all these women issues, please stop saying to us that we are weird. Oh, yeah, yeah, baby, dodo. Truth is, sometimes we don't even know and understand what's happening with us here. So when you see us like that, please pump us and try and help us find help. Good morning, Adam. This person, I'm sure, has, I like the man, honestly, Mike. He understands what's happening with his wife. The medical terminologies that he's using, I'm not even sure I'll be able to pronounce them. Good morning, Adam and Doc. My woman has imperforated hymen, making her to experience
painful sex, painful periods.
That's what it means.
That's what it means.
Doc, please mention
it. I'm not mentioning it.
So that is what he's been trying to write.
He's written the proper term for it. He's done his research. He knows that this is the medical term to describe
it. I bet you this place is not the hospital. Oh my world.
He's a good student, please.
I tell you.
He's a good student. He's very concerned. Mike, you're a great man.
Mike
Inadenta, you are a great man.
He's very concerned.
Yeah, to check
now that I understand what it means,
yes.
I know why he's very concerned.
No, he wants her to be happy, to be fulfilled.
Oh, God, Mike. Doc, what is an imperforated hymen?
So every woman, when you are... you are born with a hymen. The hymen is a membranous tissue that is at the junction between the bottom third and the upper two thirds of the woman's vagina.
Okay.
Because they are formed from two different parts of your body.
Mm.
The upper part comes from the top and comes down, and the lower part comes from the bottom and goes up, and they meet at that level.
Yeah.
So when they meet at that level, it is like two pairs of socks that have come together to become joined to become one tube. And so a small hole eventually forms between in the middle of the junction of the socks that allows menstrual flow and fluid to flow through. But then there's a ring with a small hole in the middle. That is what we call the hymen. And the hymen, it gets broken during sex, first time intercourse, insertion of tampons, horse riding, all kinds of things can break the hymen.
Mm-hmm.
Some people's hymen, they are thick. They are very thick. And when we examine you and we see that, we realize that this is not the kind of hymen that easily breaks during intercourse and things of that sort. And it's what we call an imperforate hymen. And it makes sex difficult, painful, sometimes impossible. And what we have to do is that we have to perforate the hymen, as it were. And so there are small procedures that we can do to either make certain kinds of incisions in certain places so that it opens and remains open. For some people, they are so thick that you actually have to excise the hymen. And I've had to do that surgery for somebody before, where you excise the thing and then you join the upper part to the lower part so that it doesn't form a scar ring. Otherwise, when you're having sex, it will be soft tissue, a hard ring, and then soft tissue behind. And sometimes it's difficult to go through that hard ring. So you excise the entire thing and now give it a nice smooth, and then you have to put some particular things there to keep it open for the entire duration of the healing so that it doesn't close and form a ring.
So it's not automatic that once you have your first sex, your hymen is broken?
Nope, it doesn't always break.
I see. So this one will need to go through a procedure.
So this one needs to be examined to confirm that indeed it's an imperfect hymen that is causing the problem, and then the hymen should be perforated or excised.
Does it come with bleeding?
Oh, if you can do it so it doesn't bleed too much. There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. It's a particular kind of operation. If it's just straightforward, it's just cut, and then you're done. It's simple. If it's a thick type, that is a specialized operation where you have to excise the thing, then go under, pull, mobilize, join it together. You're doing a whole cosmetic surgery inside there by the time you are done.
Wow.
You have to use cosmetic surgery techniques to do it and get it right so that the client will not complain later on that, Charlie, the place is...
It takes how long to heal? About how long?
Oh, it depends on the individual, but it's well vascularized. So 4 to 6 weeks, we are sure that, Charlie, you can try it out, and then we'll see whether it is okay or it's too tight.
I see. Just learned something new this morning. I didn't know that, especially in a case of an old woman who's married and would be having sex regularly, you still have your hymen intact. That's...
No, she's not having sex regularly.
But what if the sex is painful? It means that you have tried it.
No, it means she's tried to breach and has not been successful in breaching. I know somebody who was pregnant and hymen was still intact after 1 year because they had kept trying, and Charlie, it wasn't successful in breaching.
Interesting.
1 year of marriage, and they still not be able to have one satisfactory intercourse.
But they got pregnant.
It shows how powerful his sperm are. They poured on the outside there, and they they got to their destination.
And if you are to have regular, normal, delivery, and it's not like a CS or anything, you still would have the hymen intact?
No.
By which time, it wouldn't be there?
we expect it not in that woman's case. Mm-hmm. Hey, then you have to now go and cut things.
Okay. So, but by the time she was having the baby, it wasn't.
No, in her case, she lost the pregnancy.
Oh no!
And then now you have to try and do an evacuation for a woman whose hymen is still. Oh, it was complex.
Oh, that would be complex.
It was complex, yeah.
And then traumatizing. Okay, I get it. I hope we're all learning. Oh, I love these lessons. Now this one says that Adam. Good morning. My wife is 21 weeks pregnant and she has a fibroid that has grown to 7.4.
It's usually to be centimeters.
Okay.
Even though his sign there looks like inches, that would be huge.
Mm. From time to time, she gets severe pain in her abdomen and her butt. Please, what's the remedy for us to manage the fibroid before she's due to deliver? She's 29 and this is her first pregnancy.
Yeah, I feel for her.
Oh.
So if you get pregnant whilst you have a fibroid, oftentimes the fibroid does not get the right kind of nutrition. And then at a point in time, it undergoes what we call degeneration. And when it undergoes degeneration, it's really painful.
Oh.
And it may require admission. But we give you particular kinds of medication, and once we're able to do that, the problem, you can manage it and manage the pain. However, depending on the kind of fibroid you have, other problems may occur with it. But if it's one of those long fibroids that is attached to a long stalk, the fibroid can twist. Even more pain. And then the fibroid becomes gangrenous and all kinds of complications that come with it. It can be managed. Once you ascertain the reason for the pain, you can manage the situation, treat it, get her to term. And with a fibroid that is that big, you should do a caesarean myomectomy. A caesarean myomectomy is where you take out the baby first, put the baby down, take out the fibroid, repair everything nicely, and put it back inside. So it's a two-in-one operation. And you can do it quite safely without blood loss and things of that sort. When I was in school, when I was in med school, it was something that wasn't encouraged because the assumption was that you would bleed. And then they worried about whether the scar integrity was it. But this is one of the things that I worked on my thesis for my postgraduate. It can be done safely. It is done safely. I do it all the time. Where you can actually remove the fibroid and then put everything back together with next to no additional bleeding. However, I don't recommend people to go digging for fibroids. If the fibroid is sticking out in your face, go ahead and remove it. But if you have to dig, you may have problems. So it's something that we... But if a doctor who is experienced in taking out those kinds of fibroids would simply take out the baby and take out the fibroid for you, without too much trouble.
I mean, we've heard stories about the fact that during some of these situations, you will have the fibroid competing for space and nutrition and everything
space
with
the
baby.
Yeah.
How can that be managed too?
We are already in the situation. So it's a matter of ensure the woman is well nourished, try and ensure that any issues the fibroid is bringing, you are trying to...
Because the fibroid is also in the uterus.
Yes.
Where the baby is.
Yes. Sometimes the fibroid can be in the cavity where the baby is.
Mm-mm.
Most of the time it's in the muscle or it's sticking out on the outside.
Yeah.
Occasionally it's in the cavity where the baby is.
And they are competing.
There was one like that I tried to remove it, and I was trying to be gentle and diplomatic and going from below, and I suffered. I learned my lesson. Next time just go direct and take the thing out and have your peace of mind.
But that can only be done when... baby is due?
Yes.
Until then,
in our setting.
Okay.
However, I know of a case, one of my colleagues did one, where the woman was pregnant, the fibroid was huge, it was messing up things for her. They opened her up, took out the fibroid, closed her up.
And then
she continued her pregnancy till 9 months.
Oh,
yeah, in this country.
Wow.
I didn't do it, but a colleague of mine did it.
Okay.
Yeah, and told us about it. So it's not impossible.
So there are serious interventions now.
Yeah. So based on how the fibroid is, where it's located, the challenge that it is causing, they have to balance between risks and benefits.
Mm.
Because doing that means anesthesia risk, bleeding risk. Do we think we can do this safely? Because take note, the techniques that we use to block bleeding, when there's no baby in the uterus, you cannot use it when there's a baby in the uterus. So doing that operation, you really have to be
very careful
and very ready for every kind of complication.
Oh dear.
Yeah. But it is possible. It has been done before.
What is also the relation shift between fibroids and painful sex?
So let's look. So fibroids can be in the middle where the baby sits.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of fibroid that when we remove, we do what we call hysteroscopic surgery. We go through the vagina, through the cervix, into the womb, and you can take that fibroid out without cutting the woman at all, because okay. that is direct access. We've got fibroids that can be in the muscle. And if it's in the muscle, that's the one that you have to actually cut your tummy and go into it to remove, or go laparoscopically and remove it. Then there's fibroid that sticks on the outer part of the womb. So there are three layers. This type, and this type. You understand?
Okay.
Inside,
outside,
in the middle,
and
or outside.
Outside.
So depending on where the fibroid is located, and it could be located anywhere on the uterus, front, top, back, cervix. So let me give you an example of somebody.
They just choose their location
and just grow.
Okay.
So let's talk about a woman who has got a fibroid that's at the back of her uterus. Now in the vagina, the normal vagina, the cervix is at the end of it, and there's space below the cervix that goes further down. And it's designed that way so that during intercourse, the penis can go all the way down to the back of the vagina wall. If she's got a fibroid at the back of the vagina, the dynamics change. The uterus now, instead of lying forward, tends to fold backwards. And the fibroid now occupies that space at the back there. That should have been free space. So that means during sex, during penetration, after you go a little bit of a distance, you meet a hard, tender object. Mm. So that's just one example. And so when the gentleman enters, no pain, no pain, no pain. But as he's going deeper, he gets to a point where it causes pain.
Mm.
Now, if that fibroid is sitting there, even not inflamed, where it is alone
can
cause pain and discomfort.
Mm.
If it's inflamed, that means even it gets even worse.
Yeah.
And that will cause pain and discomfort.
More pain.
Mm. If the fibroid is in the middle of the uterus and it is inflamed or tender for any reason, it will cause pain. If it's on the outer part of the uterus, and it is the kind that is hanging, and it manages to get twisted, then anything that moves the uterus would cause pain on that side. So fibroids, and some people have no pain at all. They are the annoying ones, because no pain, no problem, no discomfort.
They're just there.
The next time you see them, the fibroids, they are 6 months pregnant with fibroids.
Yes.
That's the only time they'll come to hospital.
Evil ones.
But the ones with pain make you come to the hospital earlier.
Yeah.
And then we can give you more options. The thing about fibroids is that where it's located and its size depends on the kind of surgery we have to do. If you're like 6-7 months pregnant with fibroids, we have no option but to cut your tummy up to down.
Hmm.
The only, you understand, that's the only option that you have. If you come with fibroids that are like 5 months pregnant and below, that one is easier for us to say, let's do the transverse incision so that we can do it on your hairline and then you don't get a scar.
Yeah.
Because we can hide your scar so that you can't see.
Yeah.
You can't even see that you've had surgery, but the scar is hiding down there in your hairline.
Sure.
So the options are, you know, we can do this or that and we choose the nicer one for you. Then there are those that the fibroids, they even come when the fibroids are smaller. That's when you can offer them laparoscopic surgery.
Yeah.
Where you put a camera through the belly button
and then
fork and knives, for lack of a better word, through smaller holes. The belly button hole is 1 centimeter. The side and side holes are 5 millimeters. And you put your instrument inside and you do the operation inside there, watching it on the screen, and the surgery is done for you, fibroids are removed, you can go home maybe the next day, maybe even the same day, and all you have are 4 small holes on your tummy.
When you have a fibroid the size of a baby,
then you don't have a choice. Then there are the fibroids that are in where the baby sits. They are the ones that cause heavy bleeding.
Mm.
And that one is the fibroid that we can actually go through the vagina, through the cervix, into the womb, shave off that fibroid into small, small pieces, and get out. And you can go home the same day, within an hour. We've removed your fibroid. We didn't cut you outside. You go home within an hour. Don't tell your boss. It's an operation. You can claim as much time as you want.
I see.
And we are done. And all these are available in this country.
Good. So I asked the question about, you know, fibroids and painful sex because I know a couple who, I mean, the marriage ended because She was afraid of surgery because the doctors had advised that she needed to have surgery, and says sex was painful too. And so quite often husband is starved and okay, go and do the surgery and let's get it out so that we can have our lives. I am afraid. And on and off, other issues cropped in. And then, you know.
So has she had the surgery now?
She still hasn't. She's okay. There. She still hasn't. So that's the choice she made.
Yeah. The problem with these kinds of things is that if you delay, mm. the fibroid may grow to the extent that the uterus cannot be saved.
She's been told.
And then you have to take out the uterus.
Yeah, she's been told that when she gets to her menopause, the blood supply to the fibroids will no longer be regular, mm-hmm. and the fibroids may die or shrink or whatever it
may
is.
May shrink.
So she's hoping
waiting for it
for
to shrink. Oh, it is well.
Yeah, so. We have more questions. We'll get to them in a bit. But Yum Vita infant cereal with milk is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, iron, and calcium to aid in baby's healthy growth. It comes in three delicious flavors, maize and wheat, rice, and wheat variants, and also in three unique pack sizes, the 50-gram, 400-gram, and 350-gram block bottom pouch. I like the combination of those words, block bottom pouch. Get the pack size that best suits your family needs. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. And for your eye care challenges, I am encouraging you to go to Amasha Partners Limited because your eyes deserve the best care and quality designer eyeglasses. And Amasha Partners and Eye Care undertake the following services. They supply designer frames, sight testing, supply of lenses, sunglasses, contact lenses, ophthalmologists are in attendance, and they do general treatment. You can locate them at La Obsa Trade Fair. When you go to Spinters, they are adjacent ICGC before the Community 18 Junction. Go to McCarthy Hill, they are opposite Benjay Lodge. Not Kaneshi, Swan Lake, opposite Greenhand Junction. Achimota, they are inside the Denswa Plaza. Takrade, Axim Road, opposite CBG Bank. And when you go to Ho, they are opposite Housing Junction. Kumasi, they are the airport roundabout. Kolebu, they are opposite ECG. And in Koforidua, you will find them at the Central Hospital Road. And when you go to Tema Community 1, you can locate them inside the Meridian Plaza. Numbers to call 0302939850 or 0302778827. Numbers again 0302939850 or 0302778827. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Yes, enrich your breakfast with the nourishing goodness of Dano Milk Cool Cow Instant Powdered Milk. Dano Milk Cool Cow Instant Powdered Milk. And the rich taste of Dano Milk makes a perfect combination with your tea, oats, cocoa, and many more. And it gives you that great tasting breakfast you've always desired. Dano Milk Cool Cow is fortified with vitamin A and is also a good source of protein and nutrients such as vitamin B12 and iodine to help keep you nourished and strong always. Dano Milk is affordable and in a shop near you. Choose Dano Milk today for your nourishment and build your strength every day. Dano Milk, go for it. So I have a question here that's saying that, good morning. Please, what causes hormonal imbalance and ovarian cysts? Can they be treated? So Doc is chewing on that. We will be right back to take the answer for it.
Yamvita is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, calcium, and iron for your baby's healthy growth. A delicious way to grow. This advert is FDA approved.
Thank you for choosing us. We're live. This is Joy 99.7 FM, Home Affairs. If you're just tuning in, you're late, but welcome. It's our second session with Dr. Paddy Ayete of Elymas Health. He is a gynae obstetrician.
Joy.
Very, 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 very experienced one at that. I think that she has had experiences with almost all the women issues you can think about before, tried his hands on them, helped people. I know some of the, you know, big cases and groundbreaking things that he has done. And it's always really a very safe ride with Dr. Ayete. For those of you who want to, you know, see him, we'll put the number out by the time we're done with the show. He doesn't remember the number, so we have written it down ourselves, so we'll give it to you. Doc, but we're on to our question that says that what causes hormonal imbalance and ovarian cysts? And can it be treated?
Well, yes, they can be treated. First of all, you have to figure out which hormone is imbalanced. And there are so many hormones that we have in our body, and there are so many things that can cause them to be
imbalanced.
Maybe genetic problems, you inherited various kinds of, so hormones are created.
But when they say hormonal imbalance, really, what does it mean?
It is what usually you go to hospital and they say, what is wrong with you? Say, oh, you got a hormonal imbalance, to try and explain the condition that you came with. Some of them is just because they've looked at you and it's an umbrella thing. But you really need to check the hormones by a lab to confirm the fact that this is high, this is low, or this is in a particular wrong place. But for women especially, when they are talking about it, it's usually going to be referred to her periods, acne, hair in wrong places, you know, things of that sort, or pregnancy. And that they'll tell you that you have a hormonal imbalance.
What's making me laugh is the fact that sometimes just by looking at you.
And looking at you, no, my catch also actually a hormonal imbalance. But they are. So I'll give you an example using the PCOS example. There's a hormone that causes your egg to grow, and there's a hormone that causes your egg to burst. And in PCOS, some of them, the hormone that causes your egg to grow is low, and the hormone that causes your egg to burst is high. And that's because you don't respond to the bursting, so that hormone has remained high. So when we see, so A must be higher than B normally.
Okay.
And when we check you out, we realize that A is low and B is high at the time when A is supposed to be high and B is supposed to be low.
Okay.
So that is a hormonal imbalance. When we correct your problem, A becomes high balance. And B becomes low. And that means it's not working in the ratio in the way it should work.
Okay.
So that's just to give you an example of, you know, one of the
So the imbalance is associated with whatever you report.
Yeah, the imbalance is causing something.
It's causing something.
And when we test, the example I've given, for instance, we can use that to confirm the fact that it has corrected now.
Okay. So you what understand? I just want to be sure about is that it is not like an umbrella thing. You have a hormonal imbalance and it is a particular disease, like you have malaria.
No,
what it is. Yeah.
No, there are different things that may be cause it.
Yeah.
And it's I can look at your face and suspect, but it needs to be proven. But you need to demonstrate which hormone are we talking about that is too high or too low. Yeah.
Okay. This is a woman's problem, but with a lot of concern for a man, and that's why the man is asking. So we're going on to it now. It says, hi, Adam. Thank you for this education. Thank you. I'm glad you're following. My wife takes a longer time to have orgasm during sex, not even after long romance with oils. What can I do to help her? And if she needs... does she need a medical attention?
Not necessarily. She may actually... Well, it is not impossible for there to be a medical problem, but oftentimes, she may actually need more of a therapist, somebody who specializes in that area. Now, first of all, an orgasm is where pleasure has reached a certain point where there is a release. There's a trigger and then there's a release. And then there's a descent, and after which you can rise again to the point where you get to the point. So it's, let's say at the point of maximum pleasure, there is a release. Now, every woman has a way that she likes to be, for lack of a better word, romanced, so that she will achieve the maximum pleasure.
Mm.
The challenge is, one, figuring out what that is, because she herself may not know.
True.
So she can't show you. And that's what we call the blind leading the blind. A double blind experiment. And if, however, she's able to, you're able to, so you, the guy, have to figure it out. And it takes time and effort to keep studying her and figuring out what does she like, what doesn't she like. And hopefully she's giving you feedback by making the right appropriate noises and moves for you to know that what I am doing, you know, she's enjoying. And if you're lucky, she'll tell you, stay there. Don't stop. Let you know that, oh, what I'm doing is worth
working.
Doing. So she's not talking and gives you feedback. Before you are aware, you change. And that's one of the major problems. You are doing what she likes. And then you change and go and do something else. Either because you have a cramp in the position that you are in.
Oh.
Or you don't have an idea that she was enjoying that part so much. And then you go and do something else. So what happens is that her excitement goes up and then it comes down. Then you come and do what she likes again. It starts going up and it comes down. And it takes a long time for her to keep with all that yo-yo. She never gets beyond Kaswa on a journey to Cape Coast. You understand? You take her to Kaswa, you bring her back to Malam Junction. You take her back to Kaswa, bring her to Malam Junction. Cape Coast won't do that. And that is where that is one aspect of the challenge. If she gives you feedback, you know that stay on this road. Don't branch. Stay on this road. Then you know that...
And that road can be tiring for you.
That road can there's be tiring. Traffic, if your neck is in some particular position, there. Or you are... Charlie, it's
and
a bit
you would
uncomfortable.
Want to, you know, take care of it.
So that is one aspect of the problem.
Yeah.
But oftentimes... Now, then there are one that women too sometimes, you are thinking of too many things instead of allowing yourself to relax and be pleasured. And so she's thinking, does he like it? Does it smell right? Does it this? Does it that? Or did I leave the stove on? Is the door locked? What noise did I hear? So you are distracting your mind off the pleasure. And so you are not allowing the excitement to build to that stage. Well, the excitement must build to that stage before you actually get the trigger. Some people too, I don't know whether their mother told them something or something, whether it's guilt or what, they don't understand why, hey, something's happened to me, stop it. Hey, something, you understand? So whenever I feel, hey, something, I don't like this feeling, it's uncomfortable, I'm losing control.
Meanwhile, that is what it's supposed
but
to be.
But you are supposed to relax and lose control. I don't want to lose control. Hey, something, I must. So all the time, they keep doing things that stop them from relaxing to enjoy the experience. And those are like on the women's part. On the man's part, it is steady hair. Yeah, you are doing romance with oils, but imagine that you've got these oils, and because you like big bottoms, you want to spend your time on her bottom with all the oils. Meanwhile, she likes her nipples being stimulated. And if you spend that time on her nipple, you achieve a lot more results than where you are spending your time.
But you also want the pleasure. You also want to satisfy your fantasies, right?
Yeah, but you spend more time on that part so that she gets excited. And then she will allow you to do whatever you want. Mm. You understand?
Because I mean, there are some people who also will switch off. I mean, the moment they attain, you know, orgasm.
Yes.
By the time they're there, I mean, they're not so interested in anything else. You so you also want to satisfy
you
yourself.
You need to know your woman. So if, with the example that I gave,
you
like playing with the bottom, you enjoy your bottom at the beginning. You understand? But when you want to her to achieve orgasm, please focus on
what
excites her. So oftentimes there's a particular position, there's a particular something that you can do, and once you do it, it gives you a certain amount of joy and satisfaction.
I mean, if I am getting what you're saying right, it really isn't a medical problem. It's just approach. Most of the time is approach.
But, you know, occasionally there are medical problems. I've met a woman who has no sensation or reduced sensation from one particular part. She doesn't feel anything.
Mm.
That's a medical problem.
Okay. But that's often not the case.
That's often not the case. I think most of the time. Look, in this case, it's not that she has no orgasm.
She gets it. It just takes a long time.
It just takes a long time.
And it gets frustrating for him.
It gets frustrating for him because his neck is paining him. His hand is cramping. He's done all the things. And it's taking too long.
Mm.
Now, you also need to realize the fact that women, you know, you need to start, if you intend to make love to her at a particular time, you need to start warming the engine.
Doc, earlier. I don't agree to this talk.
Why?
No. In fact, this is not the time to have this conversation.
We'll have this debate after we finish.
Yes, I don't agree to it one bit.
No.
Seriously.
Because the funny thing about people, or some people.
Yeah.
It's like when you talk about men and sex, and women and sex. Men need sex to feel loved. And women need love to want to have sex.
Uh-huh.
So there are appropriate things you have to do. Have you seen that video where the woman told the man, you mean you've passed? Just like that.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Just like that. I mean, you saw this and you passed.
I think the man was also just pulling her legs.
Yes, now if you know your wife is like that and you've not been doing the appropriate tapping, at the right time, you understand. When the time comes, she's definitely not.
I mean, some of these things, I agree. I mean, they are playful. They get you people to bond better, and it makes it easy on the two of you. And it's beautiful, you know. However, this thing about, oh, if you need to make love to your wife and you go to work in the morning, you have to make sure that you are doing this, you are sending her messages, you are, and I'm like, okay, so I was having this argument with someone. I said, your husband works in construction and he's gone to work and probably, you know, and there are different forms of construction, right? The guy has to be on the field doing serious calculations, Naja, you're hot and everything. And that is when you are expecting that he's sending you messages and telling you that, oh, baby, this and da 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 da. A woman should also be very concerned about, this is a mature woman I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this one who wants to be babied or all these theories that we've packed into some woman's head, right? What if this man comes back from work and you realize that your husband is very tired and you are the one who, you know, offers to give him a treat? How about that? So you will say that because he didn't leave the construction field or whatever, the man is in surgery, like you, Doc, will be, Charlie, people's lives are hanging on his neck, and he comes working. The person wants to feel, wants to relax a bit. And once I start getting close to you because I didn't call you or send you a message in the morning, it means that you haven't, you know, fired me up. That is why when it is generic like that,
I do
me,
agree with you.
I am not
for
really
for exactly what you said. Because whilst one would say that this is what the way you like to be treated, that is not, you can't get that every day.
Yeah.
And on some days, you have to look at the situation and say, this one,
let me be in control too.
I have to. It's my responsibility.
Thank you. Let's stop when he didn't send me a message. So they say, because of when you want to make love. So every day,
he needs to be
I have
that.
To send you a message, warm you up, tease you.
It will be an unwise woman who says that is what she has to do? There's a colleague, there's a friend of ours.
No, it is not so preach it that I am actually,
it's an unwise woman. There's a person I know who says that she knows her husband is a 3-day cycle. That means he needs to have sex every 3 days for his mental health. So if, and she knows how he behaves normally. So if she asks him something and he gives her a non-satisfactory answer, and she asks something else and the answer is not satisfactory, then she starts counting the days. When was the last time? 1, 2, 3. Hey, so it's 4 days.
He's grumpy.
She will call him, Bessie Yankodem. I need to extract some foolishness out of you.
Let's have our peace of mind.
Let's have our peace of mind. The thing I want, I need it. So come and let's go and sort it out.
Honestly, me, I'm advocating.
I'm on arrears. I have to go and claim my arrears.
This generic preaching must stop. That, you know, if you have a woman, you have to do this.
There are some women too that if you do that for her, she doesn't like it.
Ah. No, it's okay when you can. I mean, and it all starts from the friendship and the relationship. You know, you have your friends with your partner, so you're able to send naughty messages here and then. But it shouldn't become like a recipe that they usually would preach. You know, you go for premarital classes and all that. And I think it frustrates the men that before you come home in the evening, you have to start this. Sometimes when you're coming, you have to buy some chocolate. You have to all the time. I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
I think I'm a strong believer in equality. So you two, before you ask me for anything, these are the things you also need to do before you come. Would that work?
You two send the person a message. Allow yourself and things like that so that we will have our peace. We have some few minutes. You can take about 2 phone calls, 0302216541. It would be nice to, you know, hear some of you. But I have another question here that says, Doc, what if someone has a very tight vagina to the extent where they can't even insert their own fingers? Research said one can't use dilators to open it up. A question: wouldn't that be masturbation? I like this, the this, set of
this,
thoughts.
This person, I don't understand.
So first off,
so no, it is not masturbation. Two, if the vagina is very tight, usually you'd have an examination. A lot of people come and say the vagina is so tight. When you examine them, it is not.
It is normal.
It is normal. The vagina has no problem. It is that they themselves are going into some kind of spasm. Usually I'm afraid of pain. And so they've contracted a muscle that's so tight that penetration is difficult. Research says that one can use, not cannot use, dilators. But you can use dilators. If there's a stricture, you can use dilators.
Okay.
You understand? If you confirm that there's a stricture somewhere, you can use dilators. If it's something that you can excise, you will excise it and sort it out. But for most of the time, when people say it is, when you examine them, it's actually not the case. Medically, the vagina is large enough to accommodate. And I've had clients who have come with all that kind of stuff, and you're like, okay, put this inside yourself, then it goes. You see, it goes. The problem is not that it cannot go. The problem is the way you are responding to the fact that something is coming inside. So
how about it can be managed. The dryness? There are some people who are, you know, naturally dry. Or I've heard those that, you know, you're dry and all the time, no matter the level of excitement through foreplay and romance, sometimes you still have to use lubricants to be able to get the person to be quite lubricated before. But before you answer that, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Great. Your name, please.
My name is Edmund.
Okay. Hi, Edmund. You're there.
Yeah. I think the last issue you people talk about these foreplay and all that, I think it doesn't really work. I side with the host because, look, some of us, we married for 20 years. Is it about chocolate, flour, or whatever? But still, somebody will still tell you that you didn't follow protocol. Whatever protocol, I don't know. Sometimes it gets so tiring and you feel like looking elsewhere where you don't have to follow all those protocols. Please tell our women to sit up. I mean, we are all into this together. You scratch my back today, I'll do yours tomorrow. Then we still will have our peace. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Master, I agree with you and I understand perfectly. And I think you should set up your own protocol. That before you do, you want something from me, you must also follow protocol. And make your protocol more difficult than the other one. And then let's decide as to whether we will draw protocols or we will apply protocols. I think it's a bit unreasonable sometimes.
I actually can understand the
the hesitations, if there are unresolved issues, I can understand that. Okay, I mean, a woman is not feeling too happy because there are things that are bothering her that she probably has told you you're not paying attention to, or you've just done something that she requires you to simply say that I am sorry, for her to feel like, okay, you acknowledge what I am feeling. I understand when you know there are inhibitions and hesitations because there are issues, but not the regular everyday that I want to make love to my wife, that when I leave the house,
I must.
Sometimes the person, I mean, men, you, the man goes to work, right? Women also work. He goes to work and the person has issues that they can't even tell you. They're having problems on the job and everything. And if you're a nice person, I mean, and you are regularly also taking care of the person and not expecting all the time that send me a message, call me, tease me. Oh, how?
Protocol.
What kind of protocol is that?
It works both ways, though. People must be careful.
Do we have someone on the line? Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good morning.
Great. What's your name,
I'm
sir?
I'm fine. Long time.
Yes, I know. What's your name?
My name is Peter T.
Oh, hi, Peter. It's been a while indeed.
Very, very. But I've been monitoring all the time.
Thank you so much. Okay, yeah. Let's hear you.
Yeah. Can I go ahead?
Please go ahead, Peter.
Yeah. One, my problem is there's this lady that during her menstrual period, it's only twice that she can have, that is every month twice. The third one does not flow at all. Even sometimes the second one does not flow as it's supposed to. And also during her maybe sex, when he's engaging, she's engaging a man, she always feels pain there, as the doctor was explaining, your guest was explaining. But the major problem now is about the twice period, menstrual period that she has been having every month. For some time now, it's not to be over 10 years, 12, but so long. It's been so long. And then moreover, too, she complains about some pain in her lower abdomen most of the time. And she thinks that maybe, I don't know if it is the fibro case. I don't know, but she has been complaining. She says sometimes she feels some movement under there. So I want to ask your guest, the doctor, what actually the problem is.
Okay.
So that as early as possible, something can be done about it.
Thank you, Peter. Doc, over to you.
Well, there could be several things that could be causing this thing, and it sounds like it's quite an issue. She needs to be examined properly to try and find out what is causing the pain and the discomfort and the things that she's having, and preferably, so I would strongly suggest that she should see a doctor this coming week.
Okay, great.
For a proper assessment.
Great. So please, this is not one that we are able to diagnose on air and, you know, prescribe medications or solutions to. So kindly, like the doctor has advised, see a doctor by within the week and let's get a result. We'll take our last question. There are two questions. I'm wondering which one I should take. Okay, I'll go to the one that came first. Please, I was told years ago that my estrogen level at 33 wasn't good, so it wouldn't be easy for me to conceive then. Now I am 41. What can I start doing now to enable me give birth? I have a 17-year-old daughter, though. Doc, why? You look perplexed.
Okay. There are two ways I can answer this question. Which one should I answer? Which one should I choose, A or B? I have a challenge that at 33, you were told to do something, and you did nothing about it. And now you are 41. And now your situation definitely is worse than when you were 33.
Hmm.
It's been how many years since then?
Yeah.
The it's and that is what keeps me a little bit perplexed. You knew you were going to you had this problem at that time, address it then. Don't wait till now, because if you are bad at 33, you are terrible now. So go back and see the person who told you that you had a problem at 33. He can do an assessment compared to the first one to now, and then maybe he can give you some interventions that would make a difference. But seriously, look, if you are told you have a problem, address it. That's the whole advantage of being told early. Address it. Don't wait and wait and wait and wait, and then it becomes a bigger problem, and then you are trying to ask for smaller problem solutions. It doesn't help. It doesn't help anybody. Everybody gets frustrated. Because you look at, it's like a woman who you are told that you've got early stage possible pre-cancer. So the simple solution is, let's burn the cervix and it will go away. Then you do nothing about it. And then you come when the cancer is now stage 4 and they tell you, you've got 6 months to live. Then they say, doctor, can't you do anything? I'm not God.
Great.
It's really frustrating, because then you realize the fact that you could have done so much for this person a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And now there's very little that you can do.
I think it's a good note to end the show. That, Doc has said it, once you're told that this is the issue, please deal with it. Prolonging it or trying to be dismissive about it is not what will solve any problem. So please, let's take our health very seriously. Go to the hospital. Once you feel something, ask your doctor what's wrong, and let's follow through with the treatment and the management, and let's live well.
Just allow me to say one thing. You see this body? This is the machine that makes the money.
True.
This is the machine that provides for all those who are depending on you.
True.
Look after that machine.
Thank you very much. Profound note to end it. And if you want to see Dr. Padi Ayete, 024. 024-